Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another morning devotional time as today we begin the wonderful book of 3 John. And we'll see if I can actually get my webcam working since that's not... Hey, there I am. 3 John is on tap for us this week. It's like 2 John. It's a short book. Packs a punch. Tells us some very important things about the priority of truth and goodness in the life of a Christian, and the importance of hospitality and discernment. We're going to be focusing on truth this morning, and so I have my Banner of Truth mug. See? Good hot coffee going. Let's pray, and then we'll dig into the first four verses of this wonderful little book. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, for your truth, for your goodness, for your welcome to us into the kingdom, your kingdom. Father, everything we have is yours because you made it all and you gave it all to us. Help us to receive everything as a gift from you, use it for your glory and for your kingdom, and to care about what you care about, the truth and love and goodness and hospitality. Teach us through this wonderful little book that you have given to us how to live as your followers should live in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's dig in to 3 John, verses 1 to 4. The elder. So again, John, like in all of his writings, he never names himself except in Revelation, which we'll get to week after next, Lord willing. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. What a wonderful verse that is. It's probably the most familiar verse from 3 John. The elder. So John, again, doesn't identify himself. He's not interested in bringing attention to himself. But we know that this is the same author as 2 John, the same author as 1 John, the same author as the Gospel of John. They have just so much in common in terms of the language and the priorities, and the authorship is clearly the same. And so we believe that that is John, the brother of James, son of Zebedee, one of the inner three of the original 12 disciples, one of the closest followers of Jesus, probably the youngest of the followers of Jesus, the last living apostle. So after the other apostles had been martyred, John was left alone for probably at least a couple of decades in being that voice of influence within the church. But notice he identifies himself as an elder. Again, we've talked about this when we looked at 2 John. John didn't see himself as having this higher office from which he would rule the church. He is an elder. Now, he is an apostle. He was sent directly by Jesus to bear testimony. He's an eyewitness to give testimony to what he had seen. He was personally sent out by Jesus. But within the government of the church, he is an elder, like other elders. He does have that apostolic authority as being one who was personally discipled by Jesus and personally sent out by Jesus. But there's no hierarchy in the church, in the Bible. There's no bishops, archbishops, cardinals, popes, all that kind of stuff. That was added later because people like hierarchy, but it's not scriptural. He writes to the beloved Gaius. We don't know much about Gaius other than the fact that he received this letter. We think he was probably in the church in Ephesus and that this church was written to and about the church in Ephesus. We know that John had been pastoring or leading at the church in Ephesus, which is in present-day Turkey, Asia Minor. We know that Gaius has a good reputation for loving the truth, for practicing hospitality, and for showing goodness. Gaius really is a very positive person. In Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, in part two of Pilgrim's Progress, there's a character, Gaius, whom John Bunyan puts in there, and he welcomes Christiana and her children, and two of Gaius's daughters end up marrying two of Christiana's sons. So whom I love in truth. That is so vital. That little phrase is so vital for us as Christian believers. We are to love one another in truth, not with hypocrisy, not putting on a show, right? But also not in a way that is a compromise of the truth or in a way that is false or sinful. So we're not to be hypocritical and we're not to be sinful. In our love for one another, our love should be sincere and it should be in accordance with the truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. There are several places in the New Testament where it is appropriate to wish and to pray for and to take practical measures toward the good health of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul, in one of his letters to Timothy, advises him to no longer drink only water, but take a little wine for the sake of your stomach. So apparently, you know, Timothy had some stomach troubles, and taking a little bit of wine instead of drinking only water would help to settle his stomach. Some people have this picture of the apostolic age of the church, that somehow there was no sickness or disease because the apostles were just going around healing everybody with signs and wonders all the time. And that's just not true. The signs and wonders were very pointed. They were very purposeful. They were very direct. They were very occasional and on specific occasions. So they were given to verify the truth that the apostles were speaking. And they were only given on a few occasions by God and his sovereignty. So here, Paul is, you know, just like all the rest of us, saying, I hope you're healthy. I pray that it would go well with your health and as it goes well with your soul. So Paul isn't only focused on the physical health of Gaius in his prayers for him, but he's also praying that it would go well with his soul. And sometimes we neglect that. Sometimes we only pray for people who are fighting COVID or who have cancer or who have other health problems. And we should pray for those people, just as Paul here prayed for Gaius, that it may go well with you and that you may be in good health. But we forget to pray for people's souls, that they would love the Lord, that they would walk with the Lord, that they would walk in the truth, that they would be people of the truth. So we neglect those sort of weightier matters when we only focus on praying for people's health. All right, verses 3 and 4. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. This picks up on a major, major theme that Jesus had in his earthly ministry, and that is that Jesus came as the truth to invite people to walk in the truth. We live in a world of darkness and lies. We live in a world of selfishness and foolishness. We live in a world where people suppress the truth because of unrighteousness. They don't want to live in accordance with the truth. Jesus came as light in the darkness. That's a picture of truth penetrating into lies. He came as the truth. Let's look at some of the things that Jesus said in John's gospel. So in John 8, 31 to 36, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Notice two things really quickly here in this exchange. There were Jews who had believed in Jesus because of miracles that they had seen him do. But Jesus knows that that sort of belief that's prompted because you saw a great miracle is not necessarily true in saving faith. And so he says to them, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is the same thing we saw in 2 John. You have to abide in the truth to really have God. If you don't abide in the truth, it means you don't have God. Jesus is saying, if you don't abide in my word, then you're not truly my disciples. You may say you believe in me, but you're not truly my disciples unless you abide in my word, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But then he says in verse 36, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You see, Jesus' words take us to Jesus himself. We abide in his words so that we will abide in him, and he is the truth who sets us free. And then when Jesus was talking to Pontius Pilate in John chapter 18, starting in verse 36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not from the world. Then Pilate said to him, so you are a king. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? Pilate's a skeptic like those in our age today. They hear talk of the truth and they immediately sort of, you know, curl back and reject even the idea that there could be such a thing. But Jesus makes it very clear that he's not interested in an earthly kingdom. First of all, we need to see that. Part of walking in the truth in Jesus is to realize that Jesus is not running for political office. Jesus is not interested in an earthly kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. Part of walking in the truth is to be part of a kingdom that is an eternal, transcendent, transnational, every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, non-political, non-earthly kingdom. That is the kingdom that matters. That is the kingdom where our citizenship is. And to walk in the truth, to abide in Jesus' word, is to live that way. Jesus came into the world not only to bear witness to the truth, but he says, everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. There are those who are of the world, and there are those who are of the truth. And you're either one or the other. You are either of the world or you are of the truth. And the previous night, in talking to his disciples in the upper room, John 14:6, Jesus had said to them, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way to the Father. Jesus is the truth from the Father. And Jesus is the life with the Father forever. He is God incarnate, the way to God, the truth from God, the life of God in human flesh. So this is all the background of what John is talking about here in verses 3 and 4. So when he says, the brothers came and testified to your truth, he is not using that in the way that foolish Americans use that phrase in 2021. Your truth, my truth, his truth, her truth, everybody's got to be true to their own truth. No, he's talking about the truth that is in Jesus Christ. In other words, they came and testified to your faithfulness to the truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. And then John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. As a pastor, the whole thing is to proclaim the truth of God, to exalt the personification of that truth in the Lord Jesus Christ, to preach Jesus, to preach truth, to teach Jesus, to teach truth. And if someone gets it, and someone walks in the truth, if someone says, yes, I understand better now, I'm walking more closely with Jesus now, I'm trusting in Jesus more now, I'm abiding in his word more consistently now, I'm growing in him, there is no greater joy. That is something that is, that's what it really is all about, to be called to ministry. And so John shows that heart. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Well, our time's drawing to a close. So Lord willing, we will regather on Wednesday morning to continue walking in the truth of 3 John. We're going to pick up at verse 5 and we'll just continue on. We've got two more days in 3 John, Wednesday and Friday. Next week, Lord willing, our plan is to be in the book of Jude, another little short book. It's a little bit longer than 3 John. It's got, I think, 24 or 25 verses. And then week after next, the plan is to begin what's going to probably be a lengthy journey through the book of Revelation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us the truth. We were in darkness, the darkness of ignorance and sin. And you gave us the truth of your Son, Jesus Christ, the truth that you sent into the world in the person of your Son. You have given us Jesus, and you have given us to Jesus. I pray that we would walk in the truth, that we would walk in Jesus, in the light that is in him, in his word, abiding by faith, trusting, living, walking with Jesus, in Jesus. Father, let that be our life today and always. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for taking this time with me. Have a blessed day in the Lord.